Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before we get back into Juan Soto, Matt just showed me something during the top of the hour that's kind of mind-blowing and would drive me absolutely berserk if he was on my team or the team that I cover. Dallas Goedert of the Philadelphia Eagles missed last week's game against the Bengals. He may have missed the Giants game, too. I don't remember, but I know he missed last week against the Bengals. He's not practicing this week. As of 28 minutes ago, he was not on the practice field, according to Olivia Rayner, who apparently is a TV reporter in Philadelphia. Eagles beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. She's not making that up. There's no Dallas Goedert on the practice field. But everyone, and you can see it on still pictures of on the 33rd team, at the 33rd team FB, or on Will Compton, if you guys remember him, who used to play here, who's a big-time stud now, star, at Bussin' with the Boys, at Bussin' WTB, they actually have video of Dallas Goedert with a harness around his shoulder and body and around his girlfriend's
waist.
Well, more than her waist, a little bit lower than her waist. And he's literally like behind her, and she's got her arms folded, and he's lifting her up.
He's kind of deadlifting her.
He's kind of deadlifting her with his hands on his hip. He's doing that wacky, what's that song, "The Drip" or whatever, put your hand on your hip, and you know, that you see all over on social media. I see it all the time on Instagram. Put your hand on your, I forgot what that is. I think the song is called "The Drip" or something. I don't know. I see it everywhere. I can't get away from it. But literally, she crawls into the harness. He straps it around his shoulder. She's in front of him. He's behind her. And he's like, you know, she's got her arms folded and he's lifting her, right? Again, total innocent fun, right? What have you. The dude missed last week's game. And he's not practicing this week. And he's got a hamstring injury.
It's amazing how all of the comments for the tweet are something along the lines of, this can't be good for his hamstring.
No. I mean,
bro, get back on the field. My fantasy football team needs you.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm saying. This would absolutely drive me berserk.
Oh, I think that this would drive you crazier than a ping pong table.
Sorry. Stop. Dude, you're a professional athlete. You're not playing right now. You're not available. Don't do anything that could put that in jeopardy. That's your job. And actually, he has missed the last two games, and he's heading towards a third. I'm sure it'd be fine in time for the Commanders in a week and a half. 2 weeks from tonight, actually. I mean, what am I being a jerk here? Am I being insensitive here? Sure, it's fun, right? I get it. He's allowed to do stuff in his personal life. I'm not saying, hey, man, don't walk your kid. You know, don't do anything, you know, what have you. But he's literally, like, lifting up his girlfriend with a harness.
I think this would be a non-issue if he was practicing. If he was
absolutely.
In practice today, then it's like, you know what? He did this. He's feeling better.
Or
this
if
is
he,
proof
or
that
if he
he's
played
better.
The last two games and just did this as like a bit or what, you know, whatever. I mean,
it's
very
tone deaf.
It is.
And for a team that is kind of in need for receivers and specifically that being a big issue in their game, having him out, not practicing, not in games, and then dressing up in ways that could potentially compromise his already injured hamstring. No, I would be furious if I was a Philly fan.
Yeah. Not good. And people would call me, get off my lawn. Shut up. All of you, shut up. It has nothing to do with me being old. This is common sense or lack thereof. Sorry. Lack thereof. All right. So anyway, going back to Juan Soto, right? So the rules are very, 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 very complicated. But as best I can kind of work within the confines of... So COTS baseball contracts has a lot of good data and whatever, and it breaks things down, projected 40-man competitive balance, this, that, and the other thing. The Yankees have been way, way, way over the competitive balance tax threshold for the last couple of years, but they are projected to be under in 2025 because Juan Soto's not on their payroll because he's a free agent, right? But signing Juan Soto back, I presume, because they're not that far under, would put them over again, right? So if you bear with me here, like they finished this, according to COTS baseball contract, with the number three highest competitive balance tax 40-man roster of almost $315 million, way over. 2023, they were $296 and change. 2022, $267 and change. So they've been over, based on these calculations, 3 years in a row, which means they're 50% tax, this, that, and the other thing. Now, again, they're the Yankees. They can afford a lot of things, but you start getting into, when you're at these numbers and way over the balance threat, you start getting into not only the financial penalty, but also, as we mentioned, the draft pick penalty, right? And I think you could lose picks and whatever. I don't want to get too deep in the woods here because it's hard to explain this, you know, even for me who takes somewhat of an interest in this. The New York Mets... Okay, the New York Mets, the other team that Juan Soto is more, you know, connected to because it's New York and Steve Cohen and so on and so forth. They finished 2024 with the highest competitive balance tax 40-man roster charge of over $356 million, according to COTS baseball contract. They were number one in 2023, $374 million. They were number one in 2022, $299 million. So by my math, they're at like 3 years in a row, the highest, 50% tax, and they're probably going to lose spots and picks and all that crap. You can continue to be over the competitive balance tax and pay a 50% penalty for how far you're over, which I'm sure and I'm guessing Steve Cohen is willing to do. In some cases, he's like over almost... or over $100 million over. If you then look at 2025, they have a projected total of 189, which is way under, right? But now if you add Juan Soto, they might be in the neighborhood, and you're paying him $60 million a year, you might be in the neighborhood, however that computes out, to be once again in violation of the tax. And that is assuming that you don't re-sign, that number is that you don't re-sign Pete Alonso. If you re-sign Pete Alonso, that number obviously goes up. So again, just painting the picture a little bit here for you guys, right? And I can't give you every scenario, but just work with me. Those are the two most likely teams that everybody has mentioned in terms of Juan Soto going to, right? Now, there are other teams. The San Francisco Giants certainly should be not discounted. I don't think he's going to the Dodgers. I don't think he's going to the Cubs. I don't think he's going to the Astros or the LA Angels, but I can't rule anything out. But let me give you the Nationals, okay? The Nationals, a place that obviously he is intimately familiar with, won a World Series, as we all know. The Nationals have been way, 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 way under, and they should be. They've stunk, largely, for the last several years, so they are in absolutely no problem in terms of the luxury tax, losing compensation, penalty, all that stuff. That's done by design. They've gutted the organization. We all know that. They only have a projected payroll right now of $101 million and change for 2025. We know they need a frontline starting pitcher. We know that they've brought James Wood up and Dylan Cruz up. We know that they have several key free agents that they have to deal with and re-sign. And again, don't want to get too far in the woods here. But they are the one team, and maybe not just the one team, but they are the team that has a semi or somewhat realistic chance of reeling in Juan Soto that, as best I can figure out, is in great financial shape from the standpoint of, oh, we can add a $60 million per year salary, and however they compute the competitive balance numbers and all that, and teams can do different things structure-wise, they can add it and not even be close. And, oh, by the way, they can still go out and add a Corbin Burns or somebody like that and not even be close. Now, that would boost the payroll if you were to add Juan Soto and a premier starting pitcher, probably over $200 million, and I don't know if the Learners are willing to do that. But the Nationals are a team that has a realistic chance because of his history, but also has the greatest flexibility of the teams that we think are going to be really in pursuit of Juan Soto. Not the Mets, not the Yankees. The Mets, if they choose to let Pete Alonso walk, which I think they will, in pursuit of Juan Soto, certainly could do it. And that's the most likely scenario. But the Nationals are there. Now, what that means down the road with James Wood and Dylan Cruz, if those guys turn out to be studs, that's a whole different ball of wax because you're going to have to pay other people, Mackenzie Gore, so on and so forth. But the Nationals are actually in the best, I think, financial position amongst the teams that we think have a good chance of reeling back in Juan Soto. Why don't we take a quick time out here so we stay on track, and also because we're going to have to break a little bit early next segment because Nick Allegretti of the Washington Commanders is expected to join us right around 3:30. Stay tuned for that right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Again, Nick Allegretti from the Washington Commanders expected to join us in just a few moments. So we will make the turn here as quickly as it can. Maddie, why don't we, is it too late? I should have communicated this to you. Can we fire up a little cleanup on aisle three, right, before we take the time out and reset for Allegretti? All right, let's do that now because we won't have time on the back end to do everything that we need to do. So without further ado, I hope Matt's okay with it. I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, I'm going to make this quick so we can get to Dr. Sabah before Nick Allegretti, because I just saw her on hold. Baseball trade in with the baseball offseason here. The Braves have traded Jorge Soler, big power hitter, for right-handed pitcher Griffin Canning from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The hot stove is already percolating, baby. Soler had just been traded from the San Francisco Giants to Atlanta, where he used to be when they last won a championship in 2021. So he's back and forth and all over the place. Jorge Soler on his way back to the West Coast. get some more pitching for the Atlanta Braves. All right, so I wanted to get that in conjunction with what we were talking about with Juan Soto, and we will see where Juan Soto goes. I obviously don't expect any decision on that, but you will hear lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of rumors. Tonight, coming up, Capital One Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:45 on 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. It is the Washington Capitals. Charlie Lindgren expected to be in the net. He was first off this morning, according to all the reporters. And the 6-2 Washington Capitals against the 4-5-1 Montreal Canadiens. And one Matthew J. Essick will be in his Alex Ovechkin jersey. He's wearing it right now. Maddie, what are we doing in between the show and the game after you get done with your assignments here?
I mean, there's not that much time.
No.
Doors open at 6, puck drop at 7. Yep. So I'll probably just hang out here, probably do a little bit of production
so
stuff.
So you're not going out to dinner or anything like that?
No, I don't have any plans like that right now.
Are you a eat food at the game kind of guy?
Yes. I mean, it kind of depends also. I had a big lunch today specifically because I knew I was going to be at the game later. But it's one of those situations where, I mean, I'm meeting up with my girlfriend when the game starts. So I'm kind of just in a sit and hold pattern because she's coming from Virginia. It's a matter of meeting up. I don't really know what the plan is. I'm just hoping that the Caps have a good game and maybe we get one more closer to 895.
There you go. I hope Ovi scores at least one for you. It would be great if he broke the record. It would be great if he broke the record tonight.
Right? I mean, 37 goals he needs.
Yeah, it would be awesome. He was on pace for that early Tuesday, and that pace kind of fizzled out a little bit. Last thing for you, the NBA, the Wizards last night, baby. I think we touched on them a little bit earlier. Maybe a mention. I can't remember. Or maybe that was the TV thing that I did with Derek Forrest of DC News. Now, the Wizards won their second straight last night, pummeling the Atlanta Hawks. The final score was not indicative of how one-sided the back end of the third quarter and the fourth quarter was, where it was basically a one-basket game midway through the third. And then Valanciunas kind of took over, and others took over. And the Wiz outscored the Hawks 36-27 in the third overall, and 40-28 in the fourth quarter. Let me run through the box score in case you didn't watch the game. Valanciunas, as we mentioned, was really good. Off the bench, 8 of 10 shooting. He was just wide open the entire game, right in the low, the elbow paint area, what have you. Only had 2 rebounds, but Eight rebounds, 6 assists, and 22 points. Corey Kispert, 16 points, 6 of 14 shooting, 4 three-pointers. Bilal Coulibaly, 11 of 14 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. He had 4 offensive rebounds, 9 rebounds total, 1 block, 3 steals, only 2 turnovers, 27 points. Yee. How about that? Keyshawn George with 11, Alex Saar with 11, and 4 blocks. The Wizards, baby, are on pace for 41 wins this year. All right, let's wrap up, clean up on aisle 3 so we can
clean
squeeze
up in aisle 3.
In Dr. Sabah here for a minute or two before we have to go to Nick Allegretti. Doc, sorry, I wanted to get you in. Happy Halloween to you and your fam. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Chris. I just wanted to shout out, I love Halloween, man. It's the one day a year that I allow myself to eat candy. You were talking about
one day,
earlier. I think
one
I had
day
about
out of the year.
Already.
One day out of the year.
Pretty much. You are
so healthy, it's crazy.
Well, I try my best now. My thing is, I do buy a lot of candy. I bring candy to the office every day, and everybody gets a treat on their way out, kind of like the bank used to be.
Yeah.
And then on my surgery days, all my patients, when they wake up, they have a piece of candy right there on their chest laying there.
There you go.
Them to eat, because, you know, they've been starving all night. But I do not eat any of that, because I don't care what chocolate, whether it's milk or dark or white, it's all got calories.
Yeah.
And so today I'm just going to eat chocolate, but not real food. So you got to choose one or the other.
Okay.
You know, can't do both.
Okay.
And there's a quick thing I want to tell you about chocolate y'all were talking about earlier. Do you know why the European chocolate tastes better than American chocolate?
I have no idea.
Well, at least it does to me. In America, the FDA, they regulate, you know, how many bugs. You know, chocolate has a bunch of bugs and roaches and everything in there. The Europeans don't regulate it as much, so there's more bugs in the European chocolate, and it tastes better. Isn't that weird? And then I got another quick one for you.
Wait, live bugs or dead bugs?
Yeah, like just, I guess, I'm not that good at knowing how they do cocoa, whatever, but when they're
guess who's not eating European chocolate? Me.
Oh, go get that triangulated, what is it, Toblerone or
something?
That's the triangle one, that yellow, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one Maddie said earlier. Matt, did you know about the bugs thing?
Yeah. I did not.
The bug count's higher.
You're ruining Toblerones for Matt.
I learned that, but someone told me about that, and it makes sense.
Okay.
And then one other quick one is ganache. That's a real good type of chocolate. You know how that was invented? I mean, I read this somewhere. I hope it's not inaccurate. So if someone proves me wrong, I apologize. But in France, I guess they were the sous chef for the chocolate guy, the underneath guy, was supposed to do something. And to make the chocolate. And he made a mistake. And the guy says, "You idiot," which I guess is ganache. But they tasted it. And they're like, "Oh, my God, it's good." So that's ganache.
All right.
Chocolate.
There you go. There
Isn't
you
that kind of cool? So I just want to give some tidbits. And just so you know, what we do on Halloween, since my kids, you know, don't really trick-or-treat anymore, is me and my little pup, Bucket, we get a big, big basket full of chocolates, and we get in our golf cart, and we drive all around, up and down the streets, the neighborhood, all the kids come, and they basically raid our golf cart.
Oh, there you go.
We take the candy to the kids. Yeah, I'll send you a picture when I hang up about last year where all the kids came around and took a picture.
All right.
Anyway,
well, thanks, Doc. I appreciate you.
And don't worry about calories tonight. They do not count tonight.
They do not count tonight. That's great. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Good to hear from you.
Happy Halloween. All right, we got to take a timeout. Nick Allegretti from the Washington Commanders expected to give us a call on the other side. Matt, why don't we scratch the – can we scratch the trending, right? Can we – or did we do that already? No, we did that already, right? I don't even know. Okay, let's just move on. Nick Allegretti next. All right, 3:30 on the nose. Happy Halloween, everybody. Yeah, Werewolves of London. It's called Hitting the Post for all you radio heads out there. All right, it is time, as we mentioned throughout the show, to be joined by a dude that's been awesome. A, on the field. B, to cover. Was a captain last week. Knocked a dude into next week on the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. Three-time Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs, and new here, but a big part of what the Commanders are building. It's Nick Allegretti, and he's with us here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on the BetQL guest hotline. Hey, Nick, it's Chris Russell here. Always good to catch up with you and talk to you. Appreciate your time. How are you?
I'm great, Chris. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with this, and again, I know you guys are busy, so I appreciate you making time for us. The final play on Sunday, you know, everybody knows about Jaden and Noah and the pure elation, but dude, you knocked somebody into Thursday, and I don't know if he's come back up yet. That was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those plays. You're just scrambling. Everyone's scrambling around, trying to make a block, trying to give Jaden some space, and just kind of a perfect situation. You know, my backer dropped. He was fine, so I was free and get one of those, kind of like when you hit a home run, a clean hit that feels, just a perfect shot.
Yeah, a little walk-off almost, no doubt about it. Like it was almost like you were Freddie Freeman the other night with the walk-off grand slam. Loved it because that obviously helped Jaden reset his feet, reset his mechanics after scrambling to the right and back to the left and all of that good stuff. When you're going through that sequence, right, and I'm so impressed that you guys got two plays off with 6 seconds left, something else I can ask you about, but when you're going through a play like that where you don't know where the quarterback's going, I mean, he's obviously trying to find a clear lane, like, what are you thinking and what are you trying to accomplish? Is it just head on a swivel time because you don't know where he's going? How do you, I guess, mentally compress all of that?
So it depends on what they're rushing. So generally, a lot of teams will go three-man rush. If that's the case, you know, it'll be left tackle and running back double team, guard center, and then guard and tackle. So it'll be three double teams. With the spy, it was a little bit different, but you have a basic understanding of, you know, who you're working with, who you're working to. But after, you know, 3-4 seconds, you know, it just becomes chaos and a lot of running, a lot of heavy breathing, and hoping Jaden's got time to set his feet and throw.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Nick Allegretti with us from the Washington Commanders with us here on the Team 980 as they get set for the New York Giants this Sunday. We'll get to that in a sec. So you mentioned the three-man rush. That's pretty normal in your eyes, and I've seen that before. Others have said, whoa, wait a second. Why did they only rush three? And why was Montez Sweat, who was banged up, not there? And why did they have a spy? So you're saying, if I heard you correctly, and I want you to maybe expound on it, three-man rush, not that abnormal for you, but having the spy was a little bit different.
Yeah, I would say the three-man rush is one of those things that certain teams do certain things. There's guys, there's teams that rush one. There's teams that rush two, three, four. It really just depends on what their plan is. The spy was interesting for sure. I don't know if maybe they thought that Jay didn't have the arm to get it there, so they were planning for more of a kind of a schoolyard BS, to use the longest yard quote, but one of those type plays. So, you know, that could have been the thought behind having the spy. I'm sure they had a plan. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the cards fell our way. So
were you ever in, I can't remember in Kansas City if you were involved in anything like that, but have you ever in your football career been involved in a walk-off Hail Mary?
No, never part of a walk-off Hail Mary. Been part of some overtime games where, you know, you score a touchdown, game over, but never part of a Hail Mary in general, even at the end of half or anything like that. We've thrown a couple, and, you know, typically you throw it, somebody tips it, and a lot of oohs and ahs, and you jog to the locker room. So never really been part of something like that. That was incredible.
If I remember correctly, you were involved in a walk-off winner last year with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I actually was thinking about the Chargers game regular season when I said it, and then realized that there was a little more significant one.
That's okay. That's okay. One last one on that particular play, and I guess the opponent. I know you grew up in the Chicagoland area. You and I have talked about that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everybody. Did you grow up a Bears fan?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the majority of Chicagoland grows up Bears fans. There's a few Colts fans in there, and then a couple of Packers fans that are not too well liked. But so it's no. I mean, I was a diehard Bears fan for the first 23 years of my life.
And
shoot, even being in the AFC the last 5 years, I got to follow them pretty well.
But right
now we're in the NFC, so I had to fully drop that, but still got, you know, a ton of family members and friends that were conflicted watching that game for sure.
Yeah, so you didn't feel bad at all winning on Sunday
and beating
them. No, absolutely
not. Listen, I hope the Bears go out there and win next week. Not too invested in winning when we're playing.
Exactly. Nick Allegretti, of course, was team captain last Sunday and has been great at left guard for the Washington Commanders in his first year here. 6-2, heading to the New York Giants. We appreciate a couple of minutes with him here on the Team 980. So let me ask you this. Earlier in the game, De'Ami Brown had a screen. I think it was the De'Ami Brown one, right? Because Cosme was on OZ. So De'Ami had the screen. Maybe you were, in violation. Maybe you were, and by the technical letter of the law, there is nothing that is driving me more crazy than this emphasis on illegal man downfield. In your eyes, what did you do wrong, or did you not do anything wrong on that play?
You know, it's definitely something I could fix there. We've already switched the technique. It's an easy fix for us. Just really trying to stay flat till I clear the tackle box will really solve all those issues. And it's one of those things. Our O-line coach mentioned it after the game. It's anytime you're playing a defensive head coach, is Eberflus defensive?
Yeah. Eberflus was. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I said that and then all of a sudden doubted it. But yeah.
Nope, you're right
on. They're always on the refs for the illegal man downfield. They're watching it from the first rep.
And then especially with, you know, the RPO game that we've had some success in this season, you know that the coaches are warning the refs. You know the refs are watching it. So it's just something we're going to have to be a little bit more conscious of. But I think definitely an easy fix, just a small technique fix, taking an extra couple steps at the line of scrimmage before you climb.
Okay.
It's just tough, man. Feel, you know, as an offensive lineman, you feel shitty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, Deami just made a great play, a couple good cuts, got upfield. And it's like, you know, it gets called back for, you know, it's that's one of the worst parts of offensive line is getting a play called back because of you. And realistically, what I did probably did not affect the play. So that part's tough.
Well, that's the part that's been driving me crazy. And listen, I know they call holding penalties on the other side of an incomplete on third down. And you're like, oh, we got to stop. And then they call third, you know, holding on the cornerback on the other side that has nothing. So I get that they have to call penalties that don't necessarily directly affect the play or the game. It's just between the increased emphasis and the fact that it's such a weird rule. Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, they didn't call the face mask, Nick. I don't know if you watched it. Thursday, last Thursday night in the end zone on Sam Darnold, right? Which was a huge play and an obvious, but yet they call you guys every other snap for illegal man downfield, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's definitely frustrating, but, you know, it's part of the game. I don't want to get to any type of, in my opinion, I don't want to get to any type of game where, you know, every play is reviewed and, you know, New York's watching everything and they're throwing flags 30 seconds late. I don't want to be a part of that. Just the same thing with baseball, watching the World Series. You know, I don't want to be sitting there having a computer call balls and strikes. The refs, the umps, they're part of the game. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. Definitely frustrating, but it's part of the game. I do love that part as
Understood.
Well.
Understood. All right, you're a three-time Super Bowl champion, as everybody knows. You played with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, so on and so forth. Just came over from there, as we mentioned. And now you have this wonder kid, Jaden Daniels, who seems like, you know, everything and a bag of chips that you could ever want. Not from a physical talent, not from a career achievement. I mean, obviously, he's got a ways to go, and he's got to prove that and all that, and everything's off to a great start. How would you compare Jaden behind the scenes, in the huddle, in the building, and wherever, to Patrick Mahomes in terms of their demeanor, their maturity, their poise, their personalities?
I think that, one, obviously, that's an incredible comparison to make. Pat has done some special things in this league, and it's obviously things Jaden has his eye on doing as well.
Sure.
I think the maturity is probably the closest comparison that I can draw. The difficulty of being Jaden right now is not, I don't think, fully understood. I mean, he was obviously a superstar last year at LSU, won the Heisman. Everyone knew he was going to be a top three pick. So he's becoming accustomed to that superstardom for sure. But the level that it's hitting now, it's tough. It is absolutely tough becoming a superstar at the National Football League level. And I saw Pat handle that incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be affecting Jaden at all. He is showing up every day, still earliest guy in the locker room, you know, working his butt off. So it's really cool to see. And I think the maturity is probably the biggest comparison is, you know, handling the off the field, the on the field, the pressure, the excitement, you know, the highs and the lows. I mean, there's, you know, in the National Football League, you're going to lose football games.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter who you are. Nobody's gone undefeated since the Dolphins. So you're going to lose. So handling the roller coaster of emotions is absolutely a challenge. I think he's done an awesome job with that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just from the outside and the little bit of peek that I get inside. Washington Commanders guard and three-time Super Bowl champion Nick Allegretti with us for another couple of moments. Nick, I wanted to before I run out of time, so a couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the Carolina game, but maybe it wasn't, but I'm pretty sure it was. A couple of us were kind of like waiting to talk to you, and you were like, hang on, guys, you know, and you're zipping up your suitcase kind of at like the middle of the locker room area, and you're like, I bring so much stuff, and I think I relate to you a story. At the time, I was like, oh, man, I'm an overpack or whatever. So I have a question for you. Are you a superstitious guy? Do you bring any – does anything have to come with Nick Allegretti on a road trip, i.e. this weekend, or even a home game where you guys got to be in the hotel Saturday night? Is there anything superstitious that Nick Allegretti has with him?
Yeah.
That you can tell us.
Get into
that,
everything.
That you can tell us on the radio.
Yeah, no, I guess I generally have a coin on me. I'm a coin collector,
okay.
So any of my most recent purchases, I'll usually keep with me for a day or two and travel with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of those things I just like looking at for a day or two before I put it away. A Rubik's Cube, usually.
Mm.
I always bring my pillow. You guys didn't see that in the locker room. I left that in the car, but I always bring my pillow. So I don't want to say I'm superstitious,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hit the little stitious quote either. But
yeah,
I got a little bit of quirks to me. So a lot of things I like to do. I want to make sure that you know the team provides everything, but
yeah.
I want to make I prepare as if the team forgot everything.
I love that. I love that philosophy.
I make sure that I've got everything.
I love that philosophy because, you know, I was relaying to you at the time. I used to travel with the team long before you got here, and they would always make fun of me for bringing a big suitcase to an overnight trip. And, you know, these trips are like, you know, Saturday afternoon from like 2 until whenever the game ends, an hour after the game ends, you're up in the air, an hour and a half, whatever. And then you're back home that night, and everybody used to laugh and make fun of me. But I'd bring everything in case I dribbled food all over my suit. I needed another suit, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was curious as to if you had any superstitions. All right. Speaking of weird superstitions or whatever, today is Halloween. Are you a big Halloween guy?
I am. Obviously, as a kid, was a big Halloween guy. You didn't get to the size skipping out on candy. So definitely was a big Halloween guy as a kid. And then now, you know, being a father, really excited. Got
sure.
One of my daughters, Elise, going to be a cow. Olivia's going to be a chicken, so very excited about that.
How old are they? How old are they, Nick?
They're a little bit under 2, so
okay.
we'll probably do 3 houses, and then we'll hand out candy the rest of the night. But
that's
very
great.
Excited. We decorated the house last night, so they came in down in the morning and had, you know, streamers and bats.
Oh,
and,
that's awesome.
You know, a bunch of stuff. So, yeah, you know, a big holiday guy. Love holidays. I'll have some Thanksgiving, Christmas. I'm fired up for the holidays.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to let you get to them. One more question for you, if you don't mind. So you and I have talked at training camp, whatever, because somebody told me you're a big sports talk radio guy. When you hear, and you don't have to be any specific names, when you hear sports talk radio people talking about football and like we're, you know, big bad and we know everything, do you just, I mean, obviously you're entertained to some degree by it because I know you like sports talk radio as we've discussed, but do you just laugh and go, what are these clowns talking about?
No, I think it's funny because I listen to it and generally, at times there's complete misses.
Mm-hmm.
And then at other times it's like, no, that's a hell of a point.
Okay.
Some angle we may not have been looking at it. I like hot takes, interesting takes, anything like that. I like hearing, I think generally sports talk radio does a good job of summarizing the public's opinion.
Interesting.
So, and not that I'm too interested in the public's opinion, but I'm curious. Obviously sports talk radio was not doing too great in Chicago after the weekend.
Yeah, it's a rough week for Tyreek Stevenson and Matt Eberflus.
The guys over at the score, I've been close with them for a long
time,
so it was a rough weekend for them.
Yeah, I was on with them.
I love it.
I was on a couple of times on the score with last week before the game. I haven't been on since then. I don't think they want to hear anything about the Washington Commanders, but it's a good thing for us, right? Because, you know, we could have had a miserable week around here. Instead, we had a great week. So I want to thank you personally for that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Great week.
Absolutely. Well, Nick, thank you so much for making time for us. I know you're busy with the meetings and the practice and treatment and obviously want to get home to your family for Halloween. So thank you as always. Appreciate you. It's always good to talk to you. Best of luck this Sunday. I'll see you after the game probably at MetLife Stadium. Thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, you got it. Nick Allegretti, 3-time Super Bowl champion, Washington Commanders. Awesome spot. Awesome dude. Love talking to Nick Allegretti. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Try to make it as fun as we can besides the football. All right, take a timeout. Dum-dum of the day is straight ahead. We'll wrap things up right here on a Halloween Thursday on the Team 980.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maddie, I'm not going to lie. I think that was one of the best interviews we've done on this show. Nick Allegretti's awesome. I knew that because I've gotten to talk to him a couple of times. Not like all the time, but I just knew that. And, you know, just awesome.
It was a great conversation. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I thought it was, you know, a little fun, little football, little whatever. I didn't think my questions were that bad, that wordy, what have you. So that's good. Nick Allegretti, a lot of fun. If you missed it, hit the Odyssey Rewind feature on the Team 980 on the Odyssey app to 3:30, or Matt will have it podcast for you very, very, very shortly at the team980.com. It's up there now. Oh, you can check it out now. So wait until the end of the show, and there you go. All right, it is time for not Dumb Dumb of the Day, but every last broadcast day at the end of the month, you know what we do.
It's been a full month of Dumb Dumbs, Idiots, and Jerks, but only one can be Chris Russell's Moron of the Month.
We had a lot of good candidates, but none tops this. Remember the Ravens fan that beat up a couple of innocent Commanders fans? Well, first of all, dude, screw you. Second, 24-year-old John Callis, I hope you rot in jail forever. You didn't allegedly assault Commanders fans, you did. And now you're facing first-degree assault charges, three charges of second-degree assault. And you might be in jail for like 10 or 15 years. I'm sure you'll get out after a year with good behavior. But dude, I don't care what the reason was. I don't care if you were drunk. I don't care if you were just trying to be a tough guy. Whatever your reasoning is, it does not matter. You lost your job. You lost your freedom. You lost everything that you had because you were a bleep. It's as simple as I can put it. There's no... We had a lot of candidates. We had people filming themselves while stealing stuff from Walmart. We had the Phillies fan who was more upset about the Phillies losing than losing her dog. We had a lot of dummies. We had a lot of dum-dums. But nothing tops not only being a dum-dum, but a menace to society. And that, I hope you rot in jail for a long, long time. I hope they take good care of you. I hope Matt's okay with it. Yes, I hope Matt's okay with that, too.
For Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Press the wrong button.
It's okay. John Callis, 24 years old. I hope he sits in jail for a long, long time. All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman. He's expected to have Mikey Sandra still to start the show. So stay tuned for that, and Hoffman will take you home. Happy Halloween. Be safe out there, everybody. Matt, have fun tonight at the game. Let's go Caps. Looking for another win against the Montreal Canadiens. Don't forget Thursday Night Football right here on the Team 980 starting at 7:30. We'll be back with you tomorrow for Feel Good Football Friday at 1 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.